when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon and good evening, all you dear, precious Blood River Radio fans out there. Lord have mercy, it's such a wonderful privilege and a blessing to be able to come in here each Saturday and do a little battle over the airways for you people. You know, times are really tough now. They're getting worse each week. Our prayer has never been in greater need. We've never been in greater need for prayer than we are now. But before we go to the prayer, I'll tell you who I am and who, what, when, and where, what we're doing. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, in case you didn't know, and we are Blood River Radio. I'm the founder and owner of Blood River Radio. And just in case you didn't know the date, it's March the 19th in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2022. We always say here, and it's always true, there is no name under the sun in which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. Jesus Christ. You know what, people? There's an equal way. You can get saved. You can have eternal salvation. All you have to do is so simple. All you have to do, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your lips that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that Jesus Christ rose again on the third day and reigns in heaven with his Father God and the Holy Spirit, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. If you believe that in your heart and confess with your lips, you shall be saved. That's scripture. That's not Eddie the Bombardier Miller talking. So people, if you will, you know that you listen to this show, we always have a prayer. And I started to read a psalm, but I decided it's a little bit long for what we've got to do tonight. So I'm just going to say a prayer. So you feel, people, bow your heads, people. I'm going to say a prayer, okay? Almighty Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who created the entire universe by just speaking it. Lord, you sent your son down here, and he suffered. He was tortured by the Jews, tortured by the Romans. He was crucified on the cross, and he died. He died, Lord, while we were yet sinners, while we people were yet sinning, he still died on the cross to save us miserable sinners, to pay the sin debt for all of us. And Lord, he arose again on the third day, and he will come again in his glory to judge the living and the dead. Lord, we all confess that to be true here on Blood River Radio, Lord. Lord, if you will, I would like to ask you to protect Blood River Radio, to continue to bless us, bless all of our co-hosts, our guests, bless Liberty News Radio with Sam and Jay and Cameron and everybody affiliated with this radio show, Lord. And Lord, also, like we always say, help us, give us the wisdom and discernment to know who the enemy is. And Lord, here on Blood River Radio, we know who the enemy is, and we name him every week. And Lord, give us the courage. Never let us falter in our courage, Lord, in our determination to fight this stinking enemy, this enemy of Christ, the enemy that killed your son, oh Lord. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight, people, you also know one of my favorite things to do is we always like to read the names of the donors. And this week we have Big, I might as well just say Big Ben every time. Ken of Lynbrook, New York. Big Ben. He donates all the time. You know, he does the best he can, just like us. Without people like Big Ben, bless his heart. I wish I could, you know, call him, talk to him, because he's been donating for us for all these years. But thank you so much, Ken. And also we have Lee Cochran, one of our former co-hosts. He's probably listening tonight. He's had a really, really bad health problems. Matter of fact, I went by to see him again today. I was up for two nights with him over a period of about 10 days because he had surgery. And so me being the old combat medic and the old trauma registered nurse, trauma certified, I set up with him to make sure he didn't bleed out, make sure there was no problems. He's doing okay now for where everything's wrong with him. But he told me to tell y'all hi tonight. I went by and took him two sausages and biscuits this morning. We also, Lee Cochran donated, yes. And guess what? Gene the Bitter Ender, he sent a donation in too. And he also sent a card, and I'll mount this card he sent. I got to read this quick card, then we're going to go to our guest. But with people without donors, there will be no Blood River Radio. Here we go. This is my little brother. Well, I guess he's my older brother. I don't know who's the oldest. Gene Andrews, a.k.a. The Bitter Ender. Anyway, he sent this card. Dear Mr. Eddie Bumadier. He spelled it Bumadier, B-U-M-A-D-I-E-R. Miller, thought I would send you a little help along the way to keep Blood River Radio on the air and irritating the chosen people, the black retards, and the corporate criminals. I'm always proud of you and James for hanging in there and struggling to get the truth out to so many of us peasants that have no other honest news source. And he said, he signed Gene the Bitter Rear Ender Andrews. And he said, is that the right term? Well, he got close. He's like me. He don't have a lot of edumacation, so he's misspelled it. It's Gene, not just a bitter ender. He is the bitter ender because Gene's like me. Gene still has his sword, and he's not beating it until no plowshare, no time lately. Well, people, a quick announcement. Tonight we have two dear, precious people. We have Mr. Buddy. You know, everybody and his mama knows Mr. Buddy because we're always talking about him on this show. Mr. Buddy Kirkland is going to be on with us tonight, and so is another dear, a relatively new friend, Miss Nancy Hitt. They're going to be on tonight bringing us an update on the McMichael case down there in Georgia when those three people down there were just railroaded in a Soviet show trial. And, I mean, it's just pitiful the way they were railroaded and facing not one but two life sentences in prison. But just a quick announcement of the order of operations before we go to them. Like we said, we'll have Mr. Buddy and Miss Nancy Hitt coming on first to talk about the McMichael's case. Next week, we have Lee Wilson. He was the private investigator who's worked with the McMichaels in their trial. He did a lot of investigation work. He is supposed to be on next week. You know, he's kind of leery about it because, and you can totally understand why, but he's supposed to be on, and also Miss Lee McMichael's supposed to be on. But it all depends on whether she has to keep her grandson because, you know, the grandson's dad is in prison. And they're having a lot of trouble with their family. But anyway, that's what's coming on next week. Later tonight, after we finish the first hour, after we finish with Mr. Buddy and Miss Nancy, we're going to have Miss Monica Schaefer. Yeah, my mind blacked out. We got Monica Schaefer coming on, and we also have Rand Owen. He's the sitting leader of the Alabama chair of the League of the South. And one last note, I got a box of free magnolias. There must be about 200 free magnolias in there. That's the newspaper for the League of the South. I'll be going down to Ole Miss very soon. I'm going to pass out free magnolia newspapers, and I'm going to spread the gospel of Blood River Radio and see if we can stir up a little bit of controversy down there, maybe get some publicity. But anyway, people, that's pretty much what I got tonight. Oh, one last thing, and this is kind of personal. If you will, be praying for me because April the 23rd, I'll be running the Nashville Rock and Roll St. Jude Marathon. As it's a beneficiary, all the money goes to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis. So that's pretty much the news. That's the housekeeping. Tonight, I guess we'll go with ladies first. Miss Nancy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, Eddie.
It's so good to have you on. Tell the people just a little bit about you. We're getting ready to go to a break, probably in about 90 seconds, but go ahead and tell the people a little bit about yourself before we bring Mr. Buddy on.
Well, I've been a never-ending protester, I guess, and I've decided that when John Bell Hood was preparing for the Battle of Franklin, someone said that he was rabby as a rattlesnake. And I think I am too.
I sure like that. Well, Mr. Buddy, everybody in the world knows you, but just tell the audience a little bit about yourself, Mr. Buddy, before you have to go to our first break.
Well, I'm a a bit like Nancy, I guess, rebelling at everything, because just about everything that's happening makes about as much sense as a log floating upstream. So noticing that, you can't help but know that something is wrong deep in this country. I think some people have referred to it as the swamp or the deep state or whatever. But we do have a subversive element widespread in this country, manipulating every important event. So on the situation that you're talking about tonight, the McMichaels and Mr. Bryan, I was not aware of that event until just a few months ago, because the off-on knob on my television is just about rusted close. I rarely turn that idiot box on. So I was completely ignorant of what had taken place down in Georgia. And one of the first things that grabbed my attention was when they brought charges against Gregory and his son, Travis McMichael, and Mr. William Bryan. I started listening to this thing, and all three of them were charged with first-degree murder. So I had to go
Mr.
back.
Mr. Buddy, we have to go to our first break. We'll be right back. Hold that thought, Mr. Buddy. If you're like me, you may have to take a note to know where to go back to right after this commercial break. People, hold on. We're going to go right back to Mr. Buddy as soon as this first commercial break is over with.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at bloodriverradio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go back. Just in case you just tuned in, we've got Miss Nancy Hitt and Mr. Buddy Kirkland on, and they're breaking down the case in Georgia with McMichaels, and they're going to tell you how you can donate. Other actions, even if you're broke, there's some things you can do to take action to try to get some justice, my God, for these people down here in Georgia who are absolutely railroaded in a Stalin. I mean, it would make Stalin proud the Soviet show trial they had down there. So anyway, right now, people, we're going to go right back to Mr. Buddy Kirtland, who long time activist. Go ahead, Mr. Buddy.
Oh, okay. As I said, Eddie, it was a long time before I was aware of the situation down there, and I'd say within the last maybe couple of months is when I became aware of it again. And when I heard that they had charged all three of these men with first-degree murder, and so I got to looking into it and found out Mr. Bryan, who was in a separate vehicle, armed with nothing but his cell phone camera. How in the world can you get charged with first degree murder with a situation like that? Well, as we go along here, I'm sure most of you know that the claim was that Mr. Bryan hemmed in this black suspect, whatever his name was. It didn't impress me. Aubrey something. Ahmed Aubrey, I believe.
Yes, sir, that's it.
Anyway, how can you hem in an individual with one truck? So I got to looking into it. Anyway, I pulled up the video of the event when the suspect got shot. And reading all of the charges that were brought against the McMichaels and Mr. Bryan, that video tells the whole story. I think it lasts only about 37 seconds. Now, the judge in the case, that gentleman needs to be disbarred. When the thing came to trial, he refused a change of venue, and I can see now why. He wanted to be part of it, the way I read it, because he was very biased and even lied and he about an event in there. He refused the defense to present evidence in the part of the McMichaels, and some of that stuff that the defense wanted to introduce was the criminal record of the suspect and the very fact that he was so, as they said in this report, volatile. His mother even had to call the police on him on several occasions. And even the day that the shooting took place, the suspect was on probation for two other crimes. And yet, the media has portrayed that individual, the pictures you see, if you pull them up on the computer, they try to present him as the pillar of the community, and he's dressed like he's getting ready to go preach a sermon somewhere. And that's usually the way they manipulate the sentiments in these cases. Now, as far as the judge, from what I've recorded here, he made the statement that the McMichaels ran down Aubrey and shot him. Now, the video, which is hard evidence, proves that to be an out-and-out fabrication. Now, you go back to the shooting. Mr. Bryan is following in another truck, and this fella, Aubrey, is running down the road, goes around the right side of the McMichael's truck, and Travis McMichael is over on the left side of the truck near the front left fender. Aubrey makes a 90-degree turn and charges Travis. And that's when the struggle for the gun and everything takes place, and that's where the shooting takes place. So Aubrey initiated the entire confrontation all by himself. And right. In some of the reporting, it claimed that he was boxed in and had no route of escape. He could have gone in a circle or three-fourths of a circle, 270 degrees were available to him to run away. And yet he charged straight at Travis, and that's when the shooting took place. Now, even after the trial and the murder conviction, the family of this black suspect, they want to persecute the first district attorney that had jurisdiction over the case. And I have here in front of me a copy of the actual letter that he wrote to the Glenn County Police Department Investigating Division, and detailing his observation and investigation into the shooting. And this attorney is Mr. George Barnhill, and he lays out a pretty good description of the event, and he cites Georgia law and even gives the law number from the statute books that covered every maneuver and everything that McMichaels did. And yet, Aubrey's family wants this man persecuted for not charging Aubrey. And anybody that could look at that video and charge the McMichael has got to be as dumb as a toad frog, because he could have run straight ahead and not been bothered. He would have later been arrested, probably. But no, he turned 90 degrees to his left and charged directly at Travis. And in the struggle, you can see Aubrey striking at Travis twice with his fist. Now, you know, it just makes you want to crawl up the wall when you find out that the new prosecuting team is ignoring every bit of that in order to press the charges to get a conviction. And of course, we all know, or anybody that's looked into it, in the courtroom as well as out on the grounds with this mob of Aubrey supporters, a lot of them were the BLM mob, and they were armed. I looked at two weapons I could see. They were semi-autos. Now, why would peaceful people be acting in such a way? They paraded through the neighborhoods and everywhere. And after the conviction, there was even one of the lady jurors that admitted that forced her or caused her to vote to convict because she was afraid of what would happen if she didn't. Now, is there anything that I've left out that you might need some information on?
There's two items, Mr. Buddy, I'd like to chime in on what you said. I think we covered last week, we mentioned, the week before last. Not only was this Ahmaud Arbery not boxed in, he left the scene after he was confronted by Travis and Greg McMichael. He ran away from the scene. He ran away from them. They don't even know where he was. He returned. He came back to the scene. Then he left again and came back again. At least twice he left the scene and came back, which totally destroys the prosecution's claim that he was boxed in. Secondly, the state arrested Jackie Johnson. She was one of the district attorneys. The state came in and arrested her for trying to cover up the crime. People will be right back. When we come back, we will go back to Miss Nancy. She has a chronological order of this case. So we will go right back to Miss Nancy Hitt as soon as we return from this message.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Biden in a high-stakes call to Chinese President Xi Jinping warned his counterpart of implications and consequences if Beijing decides to give aid to Russia. The Kremlin reached out to China for economic and military help after Russia was hit with sanctions from U.S. and allies after invading Ukraine. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the ball is in China's court.
China has to make a decision for themselves about where they want to stand and how they want the history books to look at them and view their actions.
Meanwhile, the headquarters of the 36th Ukrainian Naval Infantry Brigade is now a pile of rubble. It was a target of a rocket attack. The number of Marines sleeping there is unknown. Rescuers were searching for bodies. China presses on with extreme COVID shutdowns and mass testing after two deaths were reported, the first mortalities in more than a year. This is USA Radio News.
Have you or someone you know used heartburn medications Zantac or ranitidine and been diagnosed with cancer? Zantac and ranitidine have been positively linked to cancer. According to the FDA, Zantac and ranitidine contain NDMA, a known cancer-causing agent. NDMA has been positively linked to cancers of the bladder, pancreas, esophagus, liver, and stomach. Even in single doses and in smaller doses over time, NDMA is one of the strongest proven cancer-causing agents. Call 888-960-1233 or go to ZantacMoney.com. You may be entitled to substantial compensation without going to court if you or a loved one have taken these products in the past 10 years and been diagnosed with cancer. Call now to see if you qualify for free. Call 888-960-1233 or visit ZantacMoney.com to get what may be owed to you. You may be entitled to a cash reward. Find out now at ZantacMoney.com or call 888-960-1233 to see if you qualify for free.
Four American soldiers were killed when the Osprey aircraft they were traveling in crashed in Norway. The Marines were taking part in a long-scheduled NATO exercise unrelated to the war in Ukraine when the aircraft went down in a Norwegian town in the Arctic Circle. Alaska Congressman Don Young was known as the Dean of the House due to him being its longest-serving member, first being sworn in 49 years ago. Young's office said that the 88-year-old Republican passed away as he was traveling home to Alaska. Wall Street rallied this week with encouraging news from the Fed, which announced its first interest rate increases in 4 years. Chairman Jerome Powell stressed confidence that the economy is strong enough to withstand the hikes. A tiny library on Matanikas Island off the coast of Maine wants books that have been banned to stock its shelves. Ava Murray, who came up with the idea, told the Bangor Daily News, they wanted to push back against the impetus of banning books. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Blood River Radio people, without further ado, we're going to go right back to we have Mr. Buddy Kirtland on tonight and Miss Nancy Hitt, and they are breaking down everything they know about the McMichael case in Georgia. We've been talking about this for several weeks, so I shouldn't have to explain a whole lot more about what we're doing. So we're going to go right back to Miss Nancy Hitt. Miss Nancy, go ahead and give us your information.
Okay. What I'd like to do is explain to the radio listeners a little short timeline of events and then maybe follow up with some things that they could actually do to perhaps help these people. They need all the help they can get, obviously. But on February the 23rd of 2020, on a Sunday, in Satilla Shores, which was, I believe, a pretty new subdivision near Brunswick, in Glenn County, Georgia, three neighbors, that was Travis McMichael at the age of 36, his father Greg McMichael, 66, and William, nicknamed Rhodey Bryan, 52, they made a call to 911 and attempted to stop Armored Arbery in a citizen's arrest, which was legal in the state of Georgia at the time. Arbery was looking into construction sites in which there had been robberies in the past, And he had been seen previously in that area, which had experienced these construction site robberies. Arbery had at least one felony conviction for shoplifting a TV from Walmart. The three men were law-abiding. Greg McMichaels had 3 years of service in law enforcement. On November the 24th of 2021, in the Glenn County Superior Court, all three men were convicted of felony murder, aggravated assault, false imprisonment, and criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment. Travis was further convicted of malice murder. During the time of the trial, the family had to endure violent threats and protest within Satilla Shores. The BLM and Antifa were outside of the courtroom during the trial, bearing arms, and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson did show up in court at various times. All of these were done to intimidate everyone involved, the families, of course, the jurors. Everyone would have normally, any normal person would have been intimidated. At any rate, they got convicted, of course. In February of just last month of 2022, they were convicted of hate crimes, which is done to ensure that they are branded racist killers, not simply convicted murderers. This was a terrible outcome for the future. This conviction of hate crimes is almost a nail in their coffin. It's a terrible, terrible situation that they're going to have to face if they get if their appeal is reduced or overturned. Adding to the problems that they've had, these revenge-filled blacks and our federal criminal prosecutors hope that all of these men will spend time in dangerous state prisons rather than the perhaps safer federal system of penal service to the Jew overlords, because they want to get every ounce of revenge they can in this imaginary hate crime that is always directed at white defendants. I'm not sure of any blacks who've been convicted of hate crimes, but at any rate, this is a shocking outcome for three men. One of them was totally unarmed. That was the neighbor, William Bryan. It is interesting to question, and I think that was something that we were curious about. I guess it's the NAACP and all of these left-wing BLM groups that paid and supported the Arbery attorneys like Ben Crump and Clifford Jones. How did these, it's interesting where they come up with this money. Are the taxpayers paying for these lawyers? That would be something that they wouldn't want you to know about. But currently, I just found out that this is something that Buddy just talked about. The Georgia Bureau of Investigations has nothing better to do than look at the official misconduct during the accidental shooting of Arbery. Their two targets are the Waycross Judicial Circuit District Attorney George Barnhill and the former Brunswick Judicial Circuit District Attorney Jackie Johnson. Both of them had limited contact with the McMichael employee or a previous case against Arbery. But of course, they want to get all of the blood that they can out of these people. The George Barnhill he said that this was not a case that could even go to trial, and that's one of the reasons why they're trying to cause him some problems. But I would suggest any of our listeners who are concerned about this outcome, I'd like to give them the telephone number for the U.S. Capitol switchboard. I've tried to call every week all of the 8 Georgia U.S. Republican representatives and at least leave a message for them. And, of course, you can leave messages for any representatives or senators. And the telephone number is 202-224-3121. Now, that's just the main number for the U.S. Capitol switchboard.
Ms. Nancy, repeat that number again slowly.
Oh, I will.
The
number for the U.S. I'm sorry.
Give them another. Hold on just a wait about a minute. Give them time to get their pencils and papers, et cetera. But until they're getting their pencil, getting their pencils and stuff, I'd like to say also, Mr. Buddy Carter is the United States Congressman from the 1st District of Georgia, and he is the Congressman of the McMichaels. So if you want to call one specific Congressman, I would call him. But they probably have time.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
they
I
probably
have
time to get.
Too.
Oh, that's great, Miss Nancy. I'm sure our audiences have time to get their papers now. So go ahead and tell them both numbers.
Okay. Well, the U.S. Capitol switchboard number is area code 202-224-3121. And as I have said, I have called all of the 8 Republican Georgia representatives over the last 2 months. I've tried to call them every week. And the actual representative who you may want to call specifically is Buddy Carter, Representative Buddy Carter. And I think Eddie has tried to leave messages or called him. And his direct number is area code 202-225-5831. Now that's 202-225-5831. That's Representative Buddy Carter. He is a representative for the area in Brunswick or Glenn County in which this show trial took place. Now, a person you may want to contact who I think is a terrific person is Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a Georgia representative, and her telephone number is 202-225-5211. That's 202-225-5211. Now that's the Marjorie Taylor Greene, and if you want to send a donation, I'm assuming that this is a safe way to do it. I mean, this is one way that Mrs. McMichael has received funds. Maybe you would just want to start out with a small donation in case they cut it off and eliminate it. But it's called Give, Send, Go, and that's GIVESENDGO. That's all run together. Give, Send, Go. And hopefully that if you do decide to send a donation, that would help this family who are really in need. I mean, Mrs. McMichael apparently is a trained nurse, and I guess she's still employed. And, of course, she has both her son and husband in prison right now on charged up, trumped up charges.
Miss Nancy, we have to go to a quick break. Yes, ma'am. We have to go to our last break. We'll be right back, dear. Hang on, folks. We've got to go back to our last segment. This hour is really rolling, but I feel like we're really doing God's work. Be right back.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the Har genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at bloodriverradio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Well, God bless you, dear Blood River Radio family. I hope that you're getting an inspirational message out of this like I am. It's inspiring me. It's depressing, but yet it's inspiring. I would, on top of what our two wonderful, precious guests have said, I would like to ask you to not only give donations to these precious McMichaels, not only just call the congressman, go out and do what the bombardier would do, raise hell. I've heard people say, make noise and shine light. Call your own state representatives. Make signs. Make signs go out. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, that won't do any good. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Sitting on your butt and not lifting a finger is guaranteed you're not going to do any good. There's an old adage that says, if you don't swing at the baseball, you're guaranteed to strike out. Do anything you can. Make highway signs. Hang signs over bridges or highways. Go to your churches. Go to your local club baseball games, etc. But get this message out there. White people have got to come together some kind of way. We've got to quit hating ourselves. We've got to quit just hungering down to all these feral animals. We have to fight. If you don't fight, your children, your God bless your grandchildren, there's going to be no more white race. We're dying out.
Right. I totally agree with you, Eddie. We have to do things, even if you think that is hopeless, it's better to do something. If it's make up a flyer, put a couple flyers out every day. Do something every day. One thing. Absolutely, just do one thing every day.
That's right. You know, Miss Nancy, in 29 states in the lower 48, the last year, the white death rate exceeded the white birth rate. That is a mathematical certainty. If that continues, it won't be but very few years there will be no white people left on Earth. Our borders are wide open. That's on purpose. They're raising hell in the Ukraine and Russia, trying to kill more white Christian people over there. We're being under attack. And you know, that's the microcosm. That's the macrocosm. The microcosm is this: what's happening down here in Georgia? You could multiply that 1,000 times. We can't do all 1,000, but we can do this. If we could get the McMichaels out some kind of way, maybe that would set some kind of precedent. And I'm going to shut up and go back to you, Miss Nancy and Mr. Buddy, because y'all are the guests.
I was just going to say, I wrote a letter. Actually, it did run in a couple of our papers. But here's the thing that Buddy was talking about. I want to just briefly state this because it's something I typed up and I can read very briefly. It talks about what the district attorney said, and it's very important. It's extremely clarifies why this was not even considered a crime. Even the district attorney, George E. Barnhill, stated in a letter to the Glenn County Police Department, Captain Tom Jump, regarding a citizen's arrest that, in quote, under Georgia law, this is perfectly legal, end of quotes. In spite of the fact that both Travis and his father, Greg, were armed, as they feared that Arbery was also armed, the DA again reported the following, in quotes, under Georgia law, this is legal open carry. If you watched the video that 99% of the American people watched on television, it was an edited video. It did not really tell you what really happened. Arbery attacked Travis. He attacked him, and he was shot in his hand first because he was fighting with Travis over the shotgun. And, of course, Travis had the right to defend himself. And, of course, within the letter that Buddy mentions, the DA gives all of the reasons why this was not even considered a crime. These people had attempted to stop a white man who was in the neighborhood they thought was also stealing from these construction sites, so it couldn't have been aimed at just blacks. I'll let Buddy continue on with that.
I would like to say one more item. This Ahmaud Arbery was also, you pointed out, he had been convicted of felony shoplifting. He'd also been convicted of carrying a loaded handgun on public school property. He'd also been convicted of attacking police. And as Mr. Buddy's pointed out, his own mother had called numerous times in previous incidents warning the police, you need to help me. You need to get my son. I'm afraid of him, but be careful because he's very violent. And I think she told him that he was armed. But go back to you, Mr. Buddy.
Well, okay. I'll just continue with that. I was thinking about how this whole thing got started. And that neighborhood had been suffering under a rash of petty crimes for a considerable period of time, and many of the neighbors had started installing surveillance cameras. And so they were looking for trouble. Actually, most of the neighbors would not let their children go out at night. Now, when the McMichaels saw Arbery running down the road there, coming out of one of the houses under construction. Now, their man, Gregory, had been in law enforcement. And that syndrome is still in him. He sees a suspect. So he had every right to follow him. And he and his son got next to him at one point and said, "Stop, we just want to talk to you." And the McMichaels had already called 911. They wanted to turn this thing over to the police. But they had to keep following them until the police got there. And that's what they were doing. And they got to this crossroad where the event took place. And Arbery runs up behind the truck, goes around the right side, and continues running until he gets to the front of the truck. And then, as you all have pointed out, he turns to his left 90 degrees and runs approximately 10 or 12 feet to attack Travis. Now, this is for the audience, more or less. Those men in jail facing a life sentence, they are as innocent as everyone listening to this program. Now, if you were stuck in jail like they are, wouldn't you want your neighbors to come to your aid? So I'm telling our people,
amen.
When I say our people, I'm talking about white people, because this whole event turned into a black and white issue, period. So we had better start coalescing and being concerned about what's happening, because it could so easily happen to any one of us. And
absolutely,
I'm sure there are quite
absolutely
a few listeners. I'm sure there are quite a few listeners that have their little state permit, as though the Constitution doesn't count, to go armed. Now, you better be careful when you use it, because no matter how innocent you are, if you're white and you have to defend yourself against an African, the state is going to find something that you did wrong enough to put you in jail and let the criminal go free. Right. And that has happened before.
Sure, and let me pitch out something.
Ma'am, go ahead, Nancy.
No, I was just going to say, Buddy and Ed Eddie, who calls 911 before committing a crime? Who does
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. And another point, Mr. Buddy said the state will find something to pin on you, but even as important, they will not allow evidence that will prove that you were innocent and you committed no crime. The stinking judges will not allow that in court, as just been demonstrated in this case. Go back to you, Mr. Buddy.
Okay, well, you're right. That judge played a major part in the conviction of those people. As I said, he refused to change a venue. Apparently, he wanted to stay in charge because if you read the whole account, he acted as though he were part of the prosecutor's team. And frankly, that should be enough for that man to be disbarred. And as I said a little bit earlier, I'm urging everyone listening to this program, don't let stuff like this just be water under the bridge. If you see something that you can get involved in and help people like the McMichaels and Mr. Bryan, we better get busy or we might find ourselves sitting in a cold cell someday as innocent as we are sitting here right now.
Yes,
absolutely.
We're about to run out of time. I'm going to say one thing before I go back to y'all. You people out there, you white people listening to this show, you might sit around and say, oh, I'm not a racist, I'm not prejudiced. Well, they are. White people, not just in Georgia or Tennessee or Arkansas or Kentucky, it's not just them. White people worldwide are under attack. The same old enemy, the ancient Jew, they want to exterminate. They want to wipe the white people off the face of this earth. And like Mr. Buddy has said numerous times, George Soros, with his money, has put these prosecutors in place. You don't have a chance to say, hell, you better decide right now if you're going to be a white person, are you going to stick up for your white person and your white children, defend your white grandparents? Children, or are you going to be a race traitor and side with the enemy? Miss Nancy, we're about to run out of time. Take us out. Give us your last comments.
Well, I thank you, Eddie, for letting us speak. I just feel like the people could act in some way. Just do something. One thing. Call one representative. Call one senator. Make a flyer. Make it your point to do something every day to try to help these men. But I still say one thing that should ring clear. Who calls 911 and then commits a crime? Before you're getting ready to commit a crime, they knew they were not going to commit a crime. They were trying to do a citizen's arrest, which actually in Kentucky is still legal. But Governor Kemp overturned that, and I think it was done on purpose so that they would get convicted.
And you know what, people, defend these people like your own life depends on it, because like Mr. Buddy pointed out a few minutes ago, your own life may depend on it in any time. Mr. Buddy, go ahead and give us your final comments. We're almost out of time.
Well, okay, Eddie, I think I covered it all pretty good, but I urge people to try to pull up that video. It's available on the computer, the last 37 seconds, and you tell me who is the aggressor and who's the defender, and stop and consider who's in jail and who is not. So thanks for covering this subject, Eddie, on your program. So many radio programs won't touch it for whatever reason. I don't know, but this is extremely important, and we've got to quit sitting on the sideline and watching events take place and say, well, it's no skin off of my nose.
Well,
one
it is going to be.
Yes,
sir. We're out of time, Mr. Buddy and Miss Nancy. We're totally out of time. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for the tremendous work you've been doing, the Christian work you've been doing. People, Like I said, you better decide right now which side you're on. Are you going to be on your own side with your own children and grandparents and grandchildren? Are you going to desert? Or are you just going to lay down and not do anything? Do something. Don't just sit on your butt. Do something. Well, people are transitioning into the second hour. We're totally out of time for the first hour. Hang on to your seats. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We're going to pick up Rand and Miss Monica. Thank you, Mr. Buddy. Thank you, Miss Nancy.